Good morning and welcome to Seniors 2.0, Your Life Redefined, where we believe aging is inevitable, but getting old is not. My name is Heather Rusnak. I am your host this morning with my co-host, Patricia Richardson. How are you, Pat?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be back here. And we have got some exciting things going on here.
We do. We do have some exciting things. And I want to make sure that I've connected all my lines and everything and make sure that our guests can hear us. Liz, are you there?
I am.
Yay, it worked.
Technology is a great thing.
It is. Sometimes I never work. I keep my fingers crossed on this side of the room here at the Arts Center.
Well, today we are going to be interviewing a guest who is actually in the state of Iowa. And if you will recall, a couple of weeks ago, we had a show on a book called The Blue Zones. And this book was a research project by Dan Butner. And we had his brother on our show who described the work that the Blue Zone folks are doing. And the Blue Zones, for those of you that didn't hear that show, are a series of areas in the world where they have the highest concentration of centenarians. So all of these folks that are lived to be over 100, what were the reasons? Why were they so healthy? Why did they have that longevity? And they really came down to about 9 things that they all had in common. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, and it outlines the book, The Blue Zones, outlines those 9 things. And so in talking to Nick Butner, mm-hmm. he told us that the state of Iowa has an initiative to be the healthiest state in the union. And so today we are going to be speaking to Iowa.
Iowa.
and learning about what they're doing to make their state healthier and go blue. And so, Pat, who do we have today?
Well, today we have Liz Cox joining us remote. And we wish Liz could join us here in the studio. Liz, you would have enjoyed Carrboro.
I've never been to North Carolina.
Really?
I'd love to come. I'd love to come visit you.
Oh, we'd
yeah,
love to have
come
you.
On.
It's a wonderful state. So Liz is Director of Operations for the Iowa Healthiest State Initiative. The nonprofit organization's mission is to make Iowa number one in well-being, love that word, by 2016. Liz has been with the Healthiest State Initiative since the company began in 2011. She specializes in project management and development, and before joining their team, she owned her own firm, providing project management, community betterment with some of Iowa's top corporations and nonprofit organizations.
Wonderful. Well, welcome, Liz.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, all right. So I'm very excited about this because we saw a report that said, you know, how it ranked the healthiest states in the United States. And unfortunately, North Carolina was it, Pat, 38th? 32nd. Mm-hmm. And that's not good.
Nope.
Governor McCrory, if you're listening.
We're throwing down a challenge pretty soon.
That's right. and so Iowa was at 19, I think.
Yes.
And so I'm really impressed to hear about how did this project begin, because I know that you weren't always that highly ranked. And so, Liz, tell us how this whole thing got started.
Well, if you don't mind, I'm just going to back up a little bit because there are a lot of tools out there in the universe ranking and scoring and evaluating health and wellness for states and for metropolitan areas. And one of the first things that we had to do as an organization is figure out, well, how did we want to measure our success? And in doing all that research and looking at all of the options out there, we really landed on the Gallup Healthways Wellbeing Index as the measurement tool that we wanted to use to measure our progress. Mm-hmm. And when we did that back in 2011, at that time we ranked 19th out of all 50 states, and we were actually headed in the wrong direction. And so our initiative was really to say, no, 19 isn't good enough. We want to be number one in the country. And actually, after we become number one, we really want to raise the bar because number one isn't so hot. It's a 100-point scale, and the top state really only gets about 69 or 70 points, which I got teenage high school kids. If they came home with a 69% on a test, I would not be impressed.
Exactly.
And that's not what we want here in Iowa either. We want to actually raise that bar.
And so I did misspeak. You were 19th, and now what's your ranking on that poll?
So, yes, we climb we climbed from 19th. The next year we were 16th, and then following that, we broke into the top 10. So we are ranked 10th. My home state, I'm originally from North Dakota, and my home state, North Dakota, is actually number one this year, interestingly. And so we continue to want to be in that top 10. Our goal is to break the top five and then to hit number one. And you have to understand the way that Gallup Health Ways Wellbeing Index is scored is the states are packed very tightly together. It's a little bit like the Kentucky Derby, like everybody's kind of together in a clump, and it's just a nose between maybe fifth and sixth or seventh or eighth. They kind of quintile out. So the top five are pretty tightly packed, and then, you know, 6 through 10 are pretty tightly packed in terms of their raw score. So our initiative is really, you know, we want to be in top five in the next year, and then by 2016 we want to be number one.
Oh, that's an awesome goal. Well, tell us how the Blue Zones play a part in this. What and how did you get involved with the Blue Zone group?
Well, it's kind of a story. The Healthiest State Initiative actually began on a couple of bicycle seats. Bicycling is a very popular thing to do here in our state, and we had a couple of business leaders that like to ride bikes together, and we're really kind of talking about where was the state going and what could they do as individuals to make Iowa a better place to live. And they decided, you know, we really needed to look at the health and wellness of our citizens, and that needs to be our number one mission. And so between the two of them, they gathered up another larger group of professionals across the state to really decide how are we going to improve the health and wellness of Iowans. And in that circle was the Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield leadership. And they themselves were considering, you know, what can they do as the number one insurance provider to the citizens of our state? What could they bring to the state to help improve wellness? And at that time, the Blue Zones Project was doing a pilot in Minnesota, Albert Lea, Minnesota, which is a town just across the border of Iowa. Dan Buettner, which I know you talked to his brother already, you know, Dan had been visiting with the folks at Wellmark and had said, you know, we've done this in a town, but we haven't done it in a state. We'd really like to come and do it in a state. Would you work with us to develop this at a state model? And Wellmark agreed. And so that's how the Blue Zones came to Iowa. And using their model, they identified 15 communities across the state that would be designated or selected to participate in the Blue Zones project. And those communities right now are going through that process. And it's a fairly extensive process, which I'm sure you learned in your previous conversation. There's some significant changes in policy that need to happen and built environment for sustainable long-term change. And those communities are doing it one by one. In fact, this week we just had an announcement that Muscatine, Iowa achieved their Blue Zones designation. So that's one more out of the 15, and we expect all 15 to get there by 2016.
Can you tell us what are some of the policy changes and the, you know, the structural changes that a city or town has to go through to be designated this Blue Zone?
Sure. Well, there's pretty significant criteria to achieve Blue Zones designation as a city. Some of it requires businesses to become Blue Zone certified, so policy changes within a business. But at the community level, most of them are, they have a whole menu of things that they can choose from. They don't have to do every single thing to be Blue Zone designated, but they have to do a number of them. And a lot of them are choosing to implement a complete streets policy. So if you're unfamiliar with what a complete streets policy is, it's really looking at your transportation plan with every possible transportation module in mind. So you're thinking about pedestrians, mm-hmm. and you're thinking about even kids. You know, is it okay? Do they have a safe way to walk to school? You're thinking about buses. You're thinking about bikes. And you're thinking about cars. So it's not just a transportation plan for vehicles, but you're thinking about every mode of transportation and what can you do to encourage natural movement, mm-hmm. and that would be walking and biking. Are there designated bike lanes? Are your sidewalks wide enough? Are there resting places? Are there covered shelters for buses? And those complete streets policies are something that pretty much every community in Iowa has adopted that's been involved with the Blue Zones project.
So have they had to widen sidewalks and put in bike paths and that kind of thing if they didn't have them?
They don't have to. They can choose to. so it's a matter of, you know, do you want to adopt this policy? And then in the future, as you continue to put in trails in your city, let's keep in mind how we connect schools to neighborhoods, for instance. Mm-hmm. As we renovate streets, let's go ahead and put in a bike lane. In fact, one community here, Cedar Rapids, just this week painted their bike lanes green, which is something that's kind of taken on a national trend to help provide that extra protection, that visual indicator for people in cars that mm-hmm. this is a bike lane and there's going to be bicycles there. So it's just one example, a complete streets policy. Other examples include some nutrition policies. For instance, you know, a lot of cities have food concession stands within their buildings or their parks. You know, are they requiring those concession stands to offer healthier for you foods? Tobacco is another policy that sometimes cities adopt, where they might want to be a smoke-free community where they don't allow any smoking or tobacco use in parks. Mm-hmm. There's some restaurant policies that can be implemented where the default on the menu is to have a salad, not fries. Hmm. You can still have the fries, but it's going to come with a salad. If you want the fries, you'll have to ask for it.
No, that's good.
Healthier for you, items on the menu placed differently. So there's your whole show a few weeks ago identified, the Blue Zones Project is a very big project, yeah. And it's one part of what we're doing here in Iowa.
And so what about the schools? Do the schools get involved with this as well, with healthier menus and more movement for the kids, that kind of thing?
The Blue Zone designated schools, is that what you're asking?
Yes. Do the schools get involved as well?
Yes. Right. So when a community wants to become a Blue Zones community, they have to have a certain percentage of their restaurants be Blue Zones certified, a certain percentage of their businesses be Blue Zones certified, also their schools be Blue Zones certified. So there's several layers within the community where schools and businesses and restaurants and grocery stores, you know, all need to make changes within their businesses and organizations. Yes, so schools are a part of that.
And do the communities themselves give some sort of incentives to these businesses and schools, et cetera, to come on board? Or how do they get them all, you know, rallied together?
You know, when the Healthy City Initiative launched in 2011, it was the same time that the Blue Zones Project launched. So they're a partner of ours. You know, we don't really have any influence of what happens in the Blue Zones Project, but they are a strong partner of ours. And so we both launched at the same time, and at that time there was an application process to be selected as a community that would have the Blue Zones team come in and help them achieve designation. There were 85 communities in the state that raised their hand and said, we want to be a healthier community, pick me. Hmm. And so through that process, Wellmark selected 15, and those are the 15 that they're working on right now. And the incentive is you have a healthier community.
Well, and that's incentive enough. It should be. I was just wondering if how were some of the businesses hesitant to come on board, or, you know, does everyone just go, yeah, we're jazzed about this?
Because it seems like this can be a cost, a big cost for some, you know, some end from the state, the city, the businesses, partners. It seemed like it could be a big cost on the back end.
I think, and I can't answer that. I'm not involved in any of those cities. I don't know what the expense is. I would say that the changes that they're being asked to implement are policy changes, so that as they move forward, they have health and wellness in mind. Mm. There are a few things they need to do right away. But if you're going to be building a street, why not build it so it's easier for people to walk and ride their bike?
Right, absolutely.
I mean, you're building it anyway, mm-hmm. you know. If you're going to rearrange your cafeteria, some of that doesn't really cost a lot of money. But why not rearrange it in a way that encourages people to eat more fruits and vegetables?
Agreed.
You know, that's kind of the philosophy behind the Blue Zones Project, and we echo that.
And so is there one out of these 15 cities that are participating in this project, is there one city that's, quote, like the healthiest or the bluest?
You know, what's funny is every city, and I'm sure you experienced this in your own community, every city has its own personality.
Right.
And although they've all been given the same menu, none of them have done anything duplicative of the other. So they've each customized you know, they've each selected their own thing and taken their own path of how they want to get to Blue Zones. So it's interesting that when you know one Blue Zone community, you really just know one Blue Zone community because no two are alike.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. And when we were hearing from Nick Butner about the Blue Zones, there's really only one official Blue Zone right now in the United States. It was in Loma Linda, California. And so it sounds like, you know, they're reaching out to some of these other communities. I know they've done some in Southern California, the one in Minnesota, and now Iowa. From a bigger picture perspective, obviously your state's getting healthier, and that's good news for everyone. Do you see other benefits, you know, collaterally along the way for the state?
This whole initiative, the Healthiest State Initiative, has really brought Iowans together on a different level. You know, we're used to coming together every couple years for caucuses and elections and things like that. We do some things differently here that other states don't do. So we're used to kind of coming together and getting behind things. But to everybody getting behind this one thing, it's not politically divided. It's been very exciting to see how people can come together and how they choose to contribute. If everybody does something small, it actually has a very large impact at the end of the day. And what Wellmark is doing is very large, but in each individual community, there are volunteers doing very, very small things. In fact, more than 20% of every citizen within a Blue Zone community is asked to make a commitment and then to complete one healthy behavior. So it could be as simple as rearranging your kitchen so that the healthier food is at eye level, or changing your plates and cups so that they're smaller in size to reduce your, you know, help you with your portion control. It could be something that simple, but every small little thing will eventually end up in a big thing. And that's the great thing about what's happening with the Healthiest State Initiative, that we've got organizations and businesses and individuals, nonprofits, for-profits, government entities. Everybody's kind of trying to do their part. And we're, as your opening song said, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's where we're going. You know, yes, we've climbed, but really the work we've done so far and will continue to do, I think is going to really pay off exponentially down the road for Iowa.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. I'd love to see North Carolina get involved in something like that. Are you listening,
yeah,
Governor?
They're listening. I like the idea that every city is totally different. And when you mentioned about the simplest things, from putting your, you know, your snacks and your, you know, those things that you have a challenge with on higher shelves versus having them on lower shelves, just simple things. Because, you know, when you talk about getting into the schools and letting them take ownership of projects, you know, they want to do simple projects, but yet projects that make a difference. So it's just interesting that the type of things that you can actually do. You really don't have to spend a lot of effort or a lot of money or a lot of anything to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. And it's interesting, too, how schools have embraced this. And I don't know about what's going on in North Carolina, but gardening in Iowa is having a rebirth. And there are so many new community gardens happening all over the state. Some of them are actually in schoolyards, where students are growing the food, and then that food is being served in the kitchen at school.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, there's a big farm movement in North Carolina for sure, and we could really get behind that. I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who are some of the does the state actually fund this project?
No, we are a private organization, so we're a nonprofit. The Healthiest State Initiative is a nonprofit organization. We do have a public-private partnership. So, you know, the governor is very much in support of what we do. He and the lieutenant governor quite often, you know, will make mention of the progress of the Healthiest State Initiative. They always participate in our annual 1K walk. It's sort of our big celebration. We ask Iowans all across the state to get out and walk, you know, 10, 12 minutes in celebration of our success and recommit to the future success. So, yes, we don't have any government funding. We are completely supported by volunteers and organizations that contribute to us financially.
And the biggest one being Blue Cross Blue Shield?
Actually, Hy-Vee has been the largest contributor to the Healthiest State Initiative. They're a grocery store chain here. They incubated the Healthiest State Initiative for 2 years within their corporation and provided us an executive director on loan from their organization, and they continue to fund us at a very high level. The Meeks Group would be another large supporter. They're a small public relations company, and they have provided just mountains of in-kind support. They really do a lot for us behind the scenes. And then, you know, we have various others, but those two would be the largest.
Oh,
Wellmark support is 100% for the Blue Zones project, and that is a very large contribution. Mm-hmm. And that's significant, but we don't own or manage the Blue Zones project. So that's their contribution is the Blue Zones project, and it's significant.
I see. And how do you get, okay, so really it's going from the top leaders in a community, the mayor, the, you know, whomever, down to the citizens and, you know, changing your dish size. That's a massive amount of undertaking, it would seem, to get that information out to all those people. How do you do that? Is that just, how do you do that?
Well, it's kind of both directions. It's grassroots and it's top down. So, for instance, today, AARP has sponsored Dan Burden, who is a walkability expert, to come to Des Moines, Iowa, free of charge to anybody that wants to come and listen to him talk about how to look at the walkability of your community. And so last night he led a workshop, and they went out for a walk, and they surveyed the neighborhood and brought back that information. And, you know, it's stuff like that. It's open to the public and everybody can come along. And it's also messages within the workplace. So as Iowa's employers, you know, come on board and really get behind what we're doing and understand the messaging, you know, they're getting those messages through the workplace. And then, you know, people just implementing change. You know, if you see smaller plates at your workplace, you know, you understand why they're doing that, and then you bring it home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are there any other states that are doing it on this scale that you know of?
Iowa is the first.
Okay.
Oregon has declared they've got Oregon's Healthiest State Initiative, and they we're consulting with them and providing whatever feedback or input we can to them to help them get their initiative off the ground. They're using the same measurement tools that we're using. They're using the well-being index as well. And they're also working with Blue Zones, and they're doing some things on their own like we have. Mm-hmm. So that's the next one. But I know there are other states around the country that are very committed to changing the health. Colorado would be one of them. Kentucky is another, Tennessee. So it's spreading.
And that's exciting. That's exciting. What besides being part of the well-being index, do you have other ways that you're measuring your success in the state?
No, that's really the only measurement tool that we are using here at the Healthiest State Initiative. And the reason is because it's a very comprehensive evaluation tool. A lot of people think, when they think health, they think diet and exercise. And those are really important. But Gallup, actually, you know, they're really good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And they understand that we live a comprehensive life. We have a life at work. We have a life at home. And our health is really affected by our access to health care. For instance, our own behavior, 70% of our health is actually our own behavior. And some of it has to do with relationships that we have with our friends or coworkers. And so those sorts of things are built into that well-being index model. They survey 500 people every single day, and they ask them 56 questions. They ask them in English and in Spanish. They call landlines and cell phones. And those questions are reflected in that well-being survey, and it measures emotional health and physical health, healthy behaviors and access. And so knowing that, we really ask Gallup, okay, there's 56 questions. Some of them we answer really well. Some of them we don't. We can't attack all of them. Can you just give us five that we should really look at? And they said, yeah, we'll give you five. So their advice to us, and we're following it, is, you know, Iowa, you really need to look at these five behaviors, and they're not going to be what you think they're going to be. I mean, nutrition is in there. So one of the questions on the well-being index asks if you have eaten five servings of fruit and vegetables at least 4 days of the last week. So in other words, do you eat your fruits and vegetables every day? Mm-hmm. Well, Iowa doesn't do so well there. So they said, yeah, you really need to improve your nutrition. They also said your smoking rate isn't so great. So tobacco is another initiative that we have here to reduce the number of people that smoke. But some other questions that we wouldn't have obviously said, oh my gosh, that's really important. I mean, you know that going to the dentist is important, but you don't understand how important it is until you talk to Gallup. And so the question on the index is, have you visited the dentist in the last 12 months? Taking care of your teeth, probably a good idea. But Gallup can tell us that people that take care of their teeth and go to the dentist once a year, they also go to the doctor once a year. Mm-hmm. So those folks are taking care of their teeth, but they're also taking care of their body with prevention. They also report that they smiled a lot yesterday. They also report that they had enough money to buy the things that they need. So what can we deduce from that is that people that take care of their teeth probably have a little bit higher emotional health. They smile more. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, so that sort of rolls into other segments of your life, right? Another one they said was important to Iowa was, does your supervisor treat you like a partner in the workplace? Do you feel like your supervisor treats you like a partner in the workplace? Okay, so everyone's like, well, why does that matter? But I always, and I had this conversation with Pat the other day, you know.
Don't tell her.
I don't have these days at work. I'm sure you guys don't either. But sometime in the past life, you might have had a bad day at work. And if you think about how you felt when you got home after a bad day at work, mm-hmm. what'd you do? You know, how did you go home and make a healthy meal for your family? And did you get to the gym or work out in the garden or any of that? No,
no.
I don't. I don't know about you guys.
I sat on a couch and got the remote and a cookie.
Yeah, that's right. And I tell people I find my two best friends, Ben and Jerry, mm-hmm. and we hang out on the couch. And we turn on, you know, Jimmy Fallon or some comedy show, you know, that I taped last night. And that's what I do. And it's not healthy. And now imagine if that were a bad day at work 3 days a week, which a lot of people have bad days at work 3 days a week. What are they doing? For me, it's Ben and Jerry. For somebody else, it might be something else. Maybe it's tobacco. Maybe it's smoking. Maybe it's shopping. Maybe it's gambling. Like, what are the coping mechanisms? So having that relationship in the workplace where you feel valued pays off when you get home.
Absolutely.
So Gallup says this is important, right?
That's really
interesting.
And
the last one they...
Go ahead.
The last one they said was, and this is another one that you're going to go, what? Have you learned or done something interesting yesterday? Hmm. This is really important. It's important for a lot of reasons. Brain health. As we age, you know, keeping our brain connected in all segments, really important. Most people don't learn or do interesting things at home, though. Mostly they do them outside of the home. So it also can be a reflection of the vitality of your community. So if you have a community that says, yeah, I did something interesting yesterday, or yeah, I learned something interesting yesterday, you know that they're keeping their mind active, but they're also connected.
Heather,
and
you remember,
so those were the...
Last week we had the show on shared learning,
mm-hmm.
and it was interesting that they have 225 people who come every week, 5 days a week, for these educational sessions on any topic.
Learn something new. That's mm-hmm. important. And go ahead, Liz.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, so the way that we attack this is actually through volunteerism, because volunteering is an excellent way to learn something new. Typically, when you're volunteering, it's doing something you're not used to doing every day, but it also connects you to your community in a different way. Also, parks are a great place to learn or do something interesting. So the value of parks as a healthy resource within a community, we are learning, and I guess I'm learning, you know, it just, they serve so many roles and functions, and especially opportunities to do something interesting. So that segment there is another one that I would never have said, well, that's a healthy behavior we ought to focus on. But it turns out it's exponentially in other segments of your life, and in aging well, it's very important to keep your brain active.
Absolutely. And, I think we're doing something interesting and learning something new today, Pat. So we could answer yes to that question.
We can.
all right. Well, you mentioned that some of the tips that, you know, just the average citizen can do as doing their part in the Blue Zone community, such as, you know, rearranging their pantry and their dishes. Are there other tips that you could share with us that anyone
can
do?
Just natural movement is so important. And If you're living within a half a mile of your grocery store, you know, Blue Zones would say, think about walking or riding your bike to the grocery store. If you live in a walkable distance to school, If you don't have kids at home or if you're retired, now think about being a walking school bus driver, which means basically you walk a route every day and you pick kids up on the walking route and you walk them to school and you also get to walk them home. How fun.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Those are some, park at the back of the parking lot when you go somewhere and just get your steps in. These are just like easy things to do, I think. But there's lots of other things as well that don't have to do with, you know, fitness. Finding your purpose, especially as we transition out of our workforce, as we move into retirement and redefining what's our purpose in life, really, really important. There's lots of books out there. There's some videos out there, and some of it's some self-reflection. That was one of the resources that Blue Zones brought to those communities, is that they had some purpose workshops that really helped people identify that. And living your purpose, mm-hmm. really important. Understanding that we're influenced by our friends. That's pretty scientifically researched. So find some friends that like to do healthy things. Find friends that want to walk with you every day, so that on that day where it's either super hot or super cold and you don't really want to walk, you got somebody there to push you to get out and walk. The Blue Zones would call them a Moai. I think maybe Nick probably talked to you about a Moai, which is the name of a group that in one of the Blue Zones. So it's a small social group that supports one another. But having those friendships and those healthy friendships is really important as you come across the bumps in life. Those folks are there to kind of keep you on track.
Yeah, that was...
So I guess those would... Go ahead.
I was said he did mention that, and he, I think, also said something about have a potluck once a month in your neighborhood, or, mm-hmm. you know, have this walking group, or just some way to connect with your neighbors. And so many of us don't even know the people that live on either side of us. And
I don't know my neighbors' names.
And you know what? I know my neighbors' names only because my husband had an accident the other day in the yard and had to have an ambulance come, and they were the ones that called the ambulance. So how terrible is that? That's the only time you learn your neighbors' names. But I think that, you know, as a running Galloway Ridge retirement community with over 400 seniors living there, I think some of these, I know these things like purpose and well-being and staying active, either mentally, physically, all of the above, are so important for people as they age. And even, you know, not even as they age, they're important for people, you know, period. But, mm-hmm. You know, I was struck by when we were having the discussion with Nick Butner about the Blue Zones, that really all of the, if you look back, all of their behaviors and the things that made them so healthy were really things that we did in this country 50, 60 years ago, maybe, or longer, you know. And I think with technology and urban sprawl and all that, we've gotten away from, you know, sitting with the family, you know, on Sundays and shucking corn with your grandmother. I can remember doing that when I was a little girl. And mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to hear that Iowa and other communities are taking this to heart and really going to, you know, to change, because I think there's a almost a retro movement back to growing your own food and you know, making your own clothes and canning your own jams, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That I think is healthy, and maybe in reaction to where we have become as a society. So in Iowa, we all need to move to Iowa.
Well, and some of that is generational, what mm-hmm. you're saying, Heather. You know, people don't know how to can. I know how to can because my mom canned and my grandma canned and everybody cans, and I make jellies and all that. You know, I'm weird. Like, not everybody my age would know that or want to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grow a garden, and my kids know what a carrot looks like when it comes out of the ground. Not every kid knows that. Mm-hmm. So some of that is generational learning, and that's the blessing of community gardens. When you join a community garden, you get your 10x10 plot, and next to you is somebody you don't know, and they might be from a different culture, and maybe they're growing stuff that you don't recognize. Well, isn't that an opportunity to learn about their culture?
Yeah, yeah, aren't you know, we talking and about doing that?
We are.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Liz, from time to time we talk about work while we're on the show.
Well, no, I mean, we're talking about doing a community garden with our the folks that live at Galloway Ridge, and in the, yeah. you know, not just them, but in the with our employees and mm-hmm. in the greater community, because we do really feel like it's so important to connect people together, because We want people to have a purpose and a sense for living. And all of these blue zones, while we really didn't know about it before we read the book, but we're doing a lot of that stuff at Galloway Ridge. We're trying to, you know, create community, create opportunities for moving naturally and having a sense of purpose and connecting with the greater world out there. So, you know, I think it's almost an intuitive thing. If you sit down and think about what are things that can make you healthier, live longer, live stronger, all of these things, Blue Zone initiatives, mm-hmm. are really just common sense, if you ask me.
You're right. And I always say community gardens are magical, mm-hmm. because anybody that's ever spent an hour out in the garden, if you know how many times you've bent over, right?
Right.
Because you feel it the next day, right? You feel it in the back of your legs the next day. I mean, that natural movement just happens, but so does the conversation.
Right.
Right? And you're in touch with nature, which Richard Loeb would tell us is incredibly important, this whole connection to nature being lost in our community. So I'm so glad to hear that you're going to do that. And the other thing I would say would be to put together a walking route around your facility. Sometimes, and there are some free accessible resources online, and some of them are on our website, to do a walkability survey and just put together a little route that's, you know, a half a mile route or a mile route, and post that route up and around your facility. So if people are kind of interested in doing that, they kind of know where to go and where it's safe to go.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea.
That's an easy thing people can do. Another thing people can do is they can go to the dentist. Just go to the dentist.
Okay.
Just go to the dentist. Just one time a year. Mm-hmm. You know, dentists can see things in your mouth sometimes before your doctor can. Diabetes is one of those things. Heart disease is another. They show up in your mouth first. And then give up tobacco, which is really, really hard. But there are some free resources out there. The state of Iowa funds a quit line here, and they also offer nicotine replacement therapy to those that are involved in quit line. So those are some things that can help people that are using tobacco quit. You know, 9 out of 10 people that smoke wish they never would have started. Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult thing to quit.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you have a support network around you, it's possible. It just takes 7 times. You have to try to quit 7 times, and then you'll get it.
Wow. that's some persistence to kick that habit. Mm-hmm. But I got to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time with that dentist thing. Because I am one of those people that is petrified of going to the dentist.
Really?
I am.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, and I have to actually like take tranquilizers before I can go in and get my teeth cleaned. I mean, I don't know. It's some irrational fear. And my grandfather was a dentist. So go figure. But I'll try to get over that because now I know that, you know, I it will help me be healthier all over.
You know, I also think when you talk about going to the dentist and having your routine appointments, we're so busy in the hustle and bustle of our lives that a lot of times, you know, we procrastinate, put these things off. So when we look at employers, wouldn't it be interesting, and I'm just thinking of my own personal needs, if we had a mobile dentist and had a lot of these things actually come to us so we can actually get some of these things accomplished. Heather, that's just a little sidebar. But, you know, that way because we're at work all the time, what, 10, 12 hours a day. And Liz, you and I were talking yesterday about the gardens and things like that, and just having parks inside of office buildings where you can take a few minutes and go to the park, but you never left office, so to speak.
That's neat. Yeah.
You know, so if you can go get your teeth clean and you never left work, you just go down the hall to the mobile dentist. Kind of what we do for our residents.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We'll have to look into that.
We will.
I would also say something individuals can do is change the way they eat. So Brian Wansink, who happens to be an Iowan, by the way, he actually went to Cornell University and now he runs the food lab out there. But he's done a lot of research on what we eat and why we eat. Mm-hmm. And why do we eat as much as we eat? It's pretty interesting. If you Google him and pull up YouTube videos, you'll get a good chuckle. He's done some tricks where people with a soup bowl, he'll put a tube coming up from the table where their soup bowl constantly is refilling itself, and the people just keep eating and eating and eating and eating and eating, trying to get to the bottom of the soup bowl.
Hmm.
Not because they're hungry, but just they're trying to get to the bottom of the soup bowl. Well, what he and we talked about 50 years ago, that's right, our plates have grown in size. Mm-hmm. So the plates that we probably grew up with, like our grandma had, you know, they were 10-inch plates. And now they're 11 and 12-inch plates. And we like to eat with our eyes. So if people could go back to the smaller plate, and for me at my house, I eat off the salad plate. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's 9 inches. It's close enough. And then the next thing is, after you've downsized your plate, first put your fruits and vegetables on your plate. First fill half of your plate with fruits and vegetables. Then go for the protein and the dairy and the grains. But first, fruits and vegetables and half of your plate. If you do just that one thing, you will have reduced your calories and improved your nutrition.
Yeah, and I think all of the Blue Zones had a plant-based diet. Was their the majority of what they ate was plant-based. So that's good. That's good for all of us.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually next week's show.
Plant-based diet?
Yep, by the way.
All right.
It's nutrition.
Well, if anyone has any questions for Liz Cox with the Iowa Healthiest State Initiative, our number here is 919-246-9639. We'll look forward to having your calls in a moment. All right, Liz. So Iowa's doing great things. And give us some advice on getting it started here in our community.
Well, the first step is to put together a committee. You know, that's what happened here with the Healthiest State Initiative. As I mentioned, a couple of people then brought in a committee of others to really put some thought behind it. And that's actually what happens in every Blue Zones community as well, that they're required to have a committee. And in the Blue Zones, it's called the Power Nine Committee. But you don't have to, I mean, it could be any number of people. But putting together a wellness committee, whether it's in your business or at the community level, but a group of folks that are diverse, not just the gal that, you know, ran the marathon last week or the guy that eats salads for lunch, you know, a diverse group of folks that can come together and really identify, you know, what's your mission? Mm-hmm. And then how are you going to communicate that mission to your community? And then identify just two or three small things that you'd like to accomplish within a certain time frame. For some, you know, policy change is really important. And it could be changes in food policy. At businesses, some businesses are having, you can't have any junk food at any meetings. So you want to have food, that's great, bring fruits and vegetables, but, you know, we're going to leave the cookies and donuts outside of the meetings.
I like that
one. You can't have them. We're just not going to have them in the meetings. It could be rearranging your vending machine so that your vending machine is balanced. There are some tools out there, and we've got some on our website, where you can evaluate the nutrition level of the foods in your vending machine. There's always food in a vending machine that doesn't sell well. Mm-hmm. There always is two or three things that just don't sell well. Replace those two or three things with healthier options. It's a low-risk thing to do for your vending machine operator, but it also provides healthier food options for folks that, you know, need a snack. So putting that committee together would be number one. For sure.
All right. Pat, you got another committee to get going.
I do. I love committees.
Pat's our committee queen. You know, at Galloway Ridge, we've started a resident wellness program and an employee wellness program. And what I find really satisfying and interesting is some of the stories that come from the folks when they join these programs. And, you know, for instance, in our employee wellness program, they have to take a medical fitness exam and, you know, get all their screens, their cholesterol, their blood pressure, et cetera. And, you know, we've had people that found out that they had high blood pressure that never knew that, found out that they had a cholesterol problem and have taken steps through, you know, working out and eating healthier that it's really saved lives. And mm-hmm. I think really what we're talking about here is not only saving lives, but increasing the longevity of your life. If you can add another 10 years of quality of life, why wouldn't you? Because you don't want to add 10 years if you're going to be, you know, not can't walk, you're not mobile, you're in a, you know, perhaps feeling bad every day. That's no fun. Do you have any stories about, you know, people and once they've adopted these kind of all of these things we've talked about, you know, turnaround stories that you see in Iowa?
We have lots of stories here, and they get shared in lots of different ways. So every community that's a Blue Zone community in Iowa has a Facebook page, and that's that community's sort of I don't know, shout it from the mountaintop, I guess, opportunity to really kind of brag about the really good things that are happening in their community. So you'll often see some success stories there on those Facebook pages. But at the Healthy Estate Initiative, we actually have a whole blog page dedicated to success stories. And so we've got several on there. We've got actually one farmer here who grows a super fruit called the Aronia berry, and he has planted the Aronia berry bushes in all 99 counties of our state. They it's kind of known as the black choke cherry, if you're familiar with that, but they're super high in antioxidants, and that was like his one thing. Here's one thing I want to do to support the Healthy Estate Initiative. You know, and another was the county conservation taking, you know, doing a lot of initiatives to get kids active outdoors in parks. So we've got a neat story about that. We've got our Department of Education here who put together the healthy lunch tray visual. So maybe you've seen my plate, which is kind of a colorful plate that shows you the portion of fruit and vegetable, protein and grain that you should have on your plate, right, as a dairy. Mm-hmm. Well, she, at the Department of Education, took that visual and converted it to a tray so kids could see, oh, most of my tray is supposed to be covered in vegetables, mm-hmm. you know, not another food source that wouldn't be so healthy. So just those are things, little tiny things like that. We had another gal who made a commitment to losing some weight. She joined one of our fitness centers, and her story is there. And, you know, she had made this resolution that she was going to get healthier, and she was kind of afraid to join a gym, and she found somebody to kind of be her guide and mentor and develop that comfort level with her at the gym and show up with her and work out with her. And she's still on her journey. She's not where she wants to be, but to hear her story and the challenges that she's faced, and she was morbidly obese, and to make that commitment and, you know, break that barrier, and feel her own progress as she has lost the weight and developed more strength, more endurance, how her attitude has changed. You know, those are the inspiring stories. We also have a food club here in Iowa that's supported by food courts like the Peace Corps, but these are folks that come into communities and institute these community gardens. And this food corps works in the inner city neighborhoods of our state, and they help these kids learn how to garden and how to prepare their food. So when it comes out of the garden, what do you do with it? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, you're growing it and you're cooking it and you're eating it, because we know that kids especially they'll eat pretty much anything they grow.
Well, Liz, we're working a lot with AARP here and starting to work with them a lot more at Galloway Ridges. Can you share a little bit about your relationship with AARP and what they're bringing to the table as a partner? Kind of a couple of examples.
You know, again, this is another opportunity where, like, we didn't ask them to do anything. They just were like, hey, we need to do something. So there, as I mentioned, they're sponsoring this walkability survey for Metropolitan Des Moines, which is a very generous contribution. But they're also doing a food insecurity survey, and they're building a strategic plan for food insecurity among the aging, which, as you guys are probably very aware of, you know, that's a huge problem. With aging folks not having the proper nutrition.
Right.
And so we're taking a good hard look of what that looks like here in Iowa and then building some strategy around it. And they're leading that charge. Hmm. And they're leading it really, really well. So they've got a strategic planning meeting happening in a couple of weeks. They're bringing in experts from across the state. They've just completed a survey. They sent out a survey about a month ago. They've got all that survey data back now, and they're going to present it and put together a strategic plan of how to address the concerns specific to Iowa.
Wow, that's amazing, because that's one thing that's really, it bothers me a lot. Mm-hmm. While at Galloway Ridge, you know, we're very fortunate that our folks there don't have that issue, but in the community as a whole, there are so many seniors who barely have enough to eat. They just don't have the money. And the Meals on Wheels programs and all of those things are great. But how to get, you know, I think we could do more as a community. And I'd love to see AARP and us partner to do something in our county at least.
There's so much more that can be done. And when you talk about seniors who are remote, and particularly when we look at these rural areas like some of the counties that we have here, there's just so much more work that can be done, and bringing those partners to the table makes the difference.
And the other thing that AARP is involved in, as a partner of a larger conversation, is several pockets in Iowa are really active in the development of a food rescue program. If you're not familiar with food rescue, it is really going into corporations or conventions or other food, like where there's a lot of food that would be served in a day, mm-hmm. and there would be some amount of leftover food at the end of the day, and they also go into restaurants, and they would come in and they would rescue that food that's healthy and nutritious, but that restaurant or vendor or what have you would not otherwise be able to serve. They would throw it away. The food rescue folks come in and they rescue that food and they bring it back to a soup kitchen or a food pantry or something where it is served that day or the next, and it's still safe to consume. But it's one of those small things that is volunteer led, that absorbs food that otherwise would have gone to waste. It's perfectly healthy food, mm-hmm. and then distributes it to those that are food insecure. And it's not a complicated thing, but it affects the hungry population, obviously gets fed, but also the soup kitchens and the food pantries and things then can spend their finances, their resources in other ways. So they're not having to make so much food all the time because they're using the food that's been rescued from restaurants and you know, corporations and other organizations. So if you don't have one of those already, if you don't participate in one, and there is one in your area, you know, that's something really to look at. It's a really nice way to recycle resources and feed hungry people.
Yeah, we have that problem at Gallery. Sometimes we have these huge buffets and holiday mm-hmm. meals, and a lot of food does go to waste. Mm-hmm. And so some of our residents who are very conscious and, you know, with the environment, we're working with our food and beverage director to figure out ways that we can provide some of that food rescue, as you say. And I don't know that if there's any organizations out there listening that need and can use, you know, that type of food, please call us at Galloway Ridge, because we have it and we're just trying to find someone that we can partner with to give it to. Mm-hmm. We're in a pretty rural county, Liz, mm-hmm. and there's not a lot of soup kitchens and that kind of thing. We do have a food pantry, but they don't actually serve, you know, meals there. They just kind of, you go there and grocery shop.
Mm-hmm. We waste so much in this country, don't we?
We do. It's sad. But mm-hmm. All of these are great ideas, mm-hmm. and I feel like there's just a million more that we just don't have time to talk about. But it's so exciting.
Well, I'm just so excited to hear that you are already on the path and that your community is getting behind it, because what you're going to find out is everybody will want to have a part in it, and you'll have this snowball effect, and it will just be so good for your community, not only the health of your community, but the economic development of your community as well.
Absolutely, and we are so happy that you joined us today, Liz. Liz Cox is the Director of Operations for Iowa's Healthiest State Initiative. It's a plan that Iowa has to be the number one healthiest state in the United States. And I think it's an awesome goal, and hopefully it will start a snowball effect with all the other states, and pretty soon the whole entire country will be a blue zone. And wouldn't that be great?
And we're just waiting on that phone call from our local governor's office here and see, can we throw down the challenge and make
That's
that
right.
happen?
Governor McCrory, are you listening?
We'd love to have you with us. Absolutely. Let's do it together.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. And Liz, is there, do y'all have a website or something if people wanted to find out more about what you're doing in Iowa?
Yeah, we do. It's pretty simple. It's iowahealthieststate.com. And we've got a Facebook and a Twitter and a Pinterest out there too, and a YouTube at Healthiest Iowa. And those links are all on our website. And you can see those success stories there as well.
Thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you, ladies.
Healthy living. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.